In studio, we have Lynette Carr, a clinical psychologist, a very well-respected clinical psychologist in this town. And why we asked him in, why we asked him to talk to us today is that I'm absolutely sure that I'm not the only one when I say that there is a sense of, I don't know what the right word is, concern, misery, uncertainty as to where we find ourselves, both in South Africa and worldwide. So, Lynette, thank you for coming into studio. Much appreciated.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
And my question at the outset to you is there such a thing as collective psychological trauma?
Well, there most definitely is. And I think that the trauma that people are going through is the sense of things falling apart.
Yeah.
And every day there are new layers that are revealed of the problem and the depths of it. And so there doesn't seem to be any let up. And so people haven't got any way to get their bearings. How we get security is by having consistency and predictability. You know, if you have consistency and predictability, then you feel a sense of control over your environment. When things are constantly in flux and things are unpredictable and you're being lied to and you're hearing different messages, and, you know, light and water is the very infrastructure that is the basis of our existence. So your existence on the most fundamental level is being threatened. And it's not like someone holding a gun to your head, but it's an insidious kind of threat that's ever present. And it affects everybody. It's completely pervasive. And so everyone is feeling the same sense of trauma, of fear, of uncertainty, of betrayal.
I am seeing that, Lynette. I'm just saying on social media.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you because about coping mechanisms and not necessarily healthy ones. Not to put a value judgment, but I see a lot of what we call, I don't know, gallows humor, dark humor about, you know, people swapping tweets and people swapping memes and, you know, that kind of bittere gelichte, as they say in Yiddish.
I would argue that that is healthy coping mechanisms.
Okay.
Because, first of all, a lot of humor, the purpose of humor or the structure of humor is to actually distance you from what you're laughing at.
Right.
It helps you to take a step back and to see what you're suffering from a humorous angle, from a different angle. So that in itself is a stress reliever. But what humor is also doing is a lot of it is catastrophizing. A lot of the humor is based on catastrophic outcomes. So while that might seem dysfunctional, it's functional in that it helps people to rehearse, to prepare, you know. And one of the ways we prepare for future trauma is by imagining the worst that can happen.
Right.
You know. So by making a joke out of it, you're kind of getting your mind prepared without shocking yourself. You know, if you had to put it in stock, hyper-real terms, it would be traumatic. But to put the same scenario in humorous terms means that you can kind of get used to it in your mind, and it's stress-relieving, you know?
And the status quo doesn't seem so bad relative, I guess, to what's the worst that could possibly happen.
Well, I think that's number one. Number two, I think the sharing of humor also creates a camaraderie and a sense of that we're all in this together, and it's a kind of mutual support. And that's a lot better and more functional than complaining and criticizing and having catastrophic discussions, because then what people do is they're kind of marinating each other in the same trauma all the time, you know, with no let up.
Yeah.
And that is highly dysfunctional because it doesn't make people feel more supported. It makes them feel more bleak and it makes the world more scary. So I think, you know, I think if anyone wants to handle the situation in a constructive way, the thing is that no matter how you're personally feeling, to hold out hope and optimism for the people around you.
Yeah. Wow. There's so much to unpack, and I'm sure we want to get back after the news and Louis, but, I just, one idea, and then I'm going to shut up because I'm sure that Sasha and Simon have also smart ideas. I talked about social media, so everything spreads at hyper speed, but the insecurities and the kind of cultural group neuroses can also be weaponized. We can also tell ourselves crazy things or read crazy things from 10,000 fake accounts 24 hours a day if we want
right.
to.
Right.
So.
Well, I think that it's very hard to hold on to the reality when you're getting it literally from all sides, from all media. But regardless of what's happening in the external reality, every human being is in control and responsible for their internal reality. And you don't have to absorb and allow into your head everything that's floating on in the outside world. I think you have to be the custodian of your own mental health, you know.
Leonard, time has gone 4:30. That's where we are going to leave it for now. Hopefully you're going to stick around and we can continue talking to you. But as it is 4:30, we need to take news headlines with Sasha Starr. Collective trauma, is there such a thing as collective trauma? And the way that all of us are kind of feeling right now, if there's anything that you want us to ask Leonard on your behalf, please weigh in and let us know. You know how to do that. You are either going to SMS us on 34519 or WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019, which does in fact bring me to the SMS line. And Neil has a question for you, comment, question, I'm not quite sure. If the situation is a matter of life and death, how can one have humor? I mean, is it appropriate to have humor?
Well, as Woody Allen said, it's not that I'm afraid of dying. It's just that I don't want to be there when it happens.
Well, there you go.
That joke is a very good example of how humor can put things into perspective and help you to take a position in relation to the suffering. One doesn't have to be consumed by the suffering or by the fear. And while it takes mental discipline and strength, it is a choice about whether you want to make the situation bigger than you or you want to dig down into your own strength and resilience and resourcefulness and creativity and make yourself bigger than your circumstances.
Leonard, I'm a bit of a wallower. I'm going to put my hand up and come through and admit I'm a bit of a wallower.
Right.
And it's just all pervasive. It's
is.
Every discussion you have with every person you meet. It's every news headline you read. I love the framework that you've given me to handle it because it's helpful. It's helpful to know that you used two words. You said consistency and predictability.
Right.
And I never realized just how important those were in terms of feeling in control.
Right.
And this makes it somewhat easier to be able to, but all I'm saying is it's difficult because it's not just the load shedding. It's not just the lies we're getting.
It is pervasive. I mean, and I think as far as the country is concerned, the news has broken over a very long time. You know, I mean, there was the corruption, every day new corruption. Then that sort of crescendoed into the state capture. Now the collapse of the infrastructure. So, you know, there is a feeling of what's next and how bad is it. And it is, obviously I'm not in any way diminishing the seriousness of the situation. But the question is whether people want to be master of their own experience and their own world or become slaves to the world around you. Because I think maybe what I'm going to say is a bit controversial, but I think we're very spoilt in a way. We have lived very privileged lives, and we haven't. Most people who are listening to this conversation have not had, such hardship on a daily basis. But there are plenty of people in the world who live with hardships, much harder circumstances, as part of their everyday lives. And so, one can catastrophize this, but one can also say this is a challenge. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's not necessarily traumatic. Traumatic is when your life is threatened. It's extremely uncomfortable. It's extremely stressful. But now we have a choice. Are we going to manage this in a constructive way? Or are we going to complain, feel sorry for ourselves, spread negativity, and undermine everybody's ability to make the most out of a very challenging situation?
I hear you, but isn't it almost like death, the different stages of dealing with it? Is that not?
That's a reality, because I think as far as the load shedding is concerned, that is like the death just happened. And I think people are in shock and it's going to take time, so I'm not blaming anybody. I myself and feeling in shock. I don't blame anyone for feeling very alarmed at what's going on. But one does have to see this as a process and that it is going to go through stages.
It's also a great leveler. I mean, I was watching some news broadcast visuals the other night, and I saw a family in a township having dinner by candlelight, and I thought, no matter where you are in this country, you are experiencing the same frustrations right. and the same angers. And in fact, some of us who live in northern Johannesburg and have the means are actually pretty much insulated from it,
well,
because
exactly.
there's things that we can do. But if you're an ice cream vendor and your stock is melting
right.
and you can't eat dinner,
right.
I mean, this is serious.
But remember that there are a lot of people in this country who do not have running water and electricity in the first place. Now, of course, they're adapted to those circumstances. But I think the point of realizing that is also to realize how much we take for granted. And don't realize that it is actually a privilege to have these things. And I think this experience is also humbling, you know, to realize, not to say that it's not serious and very traumatic and it's affecting our ability to work and do all kinds of things. But it is, you know, we're losing something that for many people is a huge luxury. And so I think one should also use it to be humbled in a way.
No, I hear you loud and strong. However, just to counter that, you did mention that this is primal. You know, water and electricity
is
primal. This is not a high on Maslow's spiral.
No, without a doubt.
This is pretty low. But Leonard, thank you for coming in. Thank you for talking to us. And thank you for reminding us that however dire we may perceive the situation, how we choose to respond to it remains within our control. And I think that's a message worth emphasizing specifically at
and
this
laughter
time.
Is the best medicine.
It is.
Unless, of course, you're diabetic. Then it's probably insulin first and laughter second.
Thank you, Leonard. Really, really.
You're welcome.
I think that was important, and I think that's what we needed.